Hello, and welcome to A Writer's Journey, the podcast that will talk about everything the aspiring author wants to know about going from blank page to published. I'm Sarah Whitford. Welcome to our show. This particular episode is going to be two keys to writing nonfiction, because we're not all going to be writing novels or short stories or screenplays. There are a lot of us out there who love to write. Perhaps, we might want to write about some historical subject, or we might want to write a travel book like my co-host, who I'm going to get to in just a moment, or we might like to write even a memoir. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce Terrence Zepke, my co-host. Of course, by now you know us both, hopefully. You've been tuning into the show for some time now. If not, be sure and check out past episodes. But Terrence, you have published 24 books, most of which have been predominantly nonfiction. And I say predominantly nonfiction because, of course, you have little stories that are in the books that are, I guess we don't know for sure if they're fiction or folklore or what have you. So I know you have a ton of advice for writers writing nonfiction, so why don't you just get us started?
Yeah, I kind of pushed this subject into our series because there are a lot of people that are going to be writing, even when you're writing creative nonfiction like I do, there are some certain criteria to it. And rule number one, and this is really the most important thing, is you need to be an expert in the area that you're writing about. It really should go without saying, but you can't write, or at least you shouldn't write, about something that you don't know a lot about. You need to be recognized as an expert in your field and have credentials to include as part of your biography, when you do interviews, when people introduce you at speaking events, when you're writing your pitch letters. You need to be able to explain to people why you wrote this book, why you're qualified to write this book. And for me, that's a really hard thing, because a lot of people like to write about the paranormal just because they like the subject matter.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of bothers me, because I think you should know more than just watching Ghost Hunters on TV before you start doing it. And for me, I studied I don't know if you know this, Sarah, but I actually studied at the Rhine Research Center.
I did not know that.
Yes, and so I have a certification in parapsychology, as well as a lot of other things, and of course my travel background when I write those books. And also that's important because, you know, if you think about it, I've got a few examples I was going to name here. Arthur Frommer and Rick Steves, mm-hmm. They're travel experts, so they're not writing cookbooks.
That's right.
You know, John Grisham was a Southern lawyer, so his first book was a legal thriller, and that's what all his books really are.
Mm-hmm.
Martha Stewart, she writes about crafts, cooking, home decorations, because, you know, that's her area of expertise. And Robin Cook, you know, he was a doctor, and so that's how he got an interest and began writing medical thrillers. Jackie Collins, mm-hmm. She writes what she knows about Hollywood. And John Le Carré, I don't know if you know this, his real name is David Cornwall. He was once in the British Foreign Service. So that's how he got a background to write those spy novels.
That's pretty cool.
So, so really, pretty much, whether you're writing fiction or nonfiction, this is a rule of thumb that you need to have some knowledge of what's feasible in your genre. And for nonfiction, you just need to have an expertise, because nobody wants you to write a book on on travel if you've never traveled.
That's right. Yeah. And I should have mentioned at the beginning of this show that really this, you know, I'm in the midst of revisions for my first novel, but for years I have been doing nonfiction writing, not books, but articles and things of that nature. I guess you would call me an amateur historian. I don't make money at it, and I didn't study. I'm not a history major, but I've done a ton of independent study, and I've written many, many, many articles, especially about the indigenous people of Eastern North Carolina. And in fact, Terrence, I don't think I told you this. I have an interview that I did back in 2006 with an indigenous language expert, Blair Rhodes, who actually reconstructed the Algonquian language for the film The New World that came out with Colin Farrell back at that time. And I interviewed him, and it was on the website for Coastal Carolina Indian Center, which is coastalcarolinaindians.com. But that article got picked up by the University of Southern Mississippi, and it's going to be appearing in their literary journal next month. So that's pretty exciting. And, you know, so I've had I've had other little articles that have been cited in books and things of that nature, so that's kind of neat. But so this is not necessarily about even just writing books. If you do want to write a research paper, let's say that there's something that's happened in the news that you know something about, the current news, Jack the Ripper, they think that they've identified the killer with DNA. Let's say you know a whole lot about DNA, and let's say you think that there's an issue with what they're putting out there. There are far more questions that you have than what they've answered, and so let's say you want to write a research paper about that. And you might want to put it on a website. You might want to see if you could submit it to a magazine. Again, this needs to be something you need to be an expert at. You need to know all about it, and you need to make sure. The next thing, I don't know if you're ready to talk about that yet, but if not, we'll be getting to it soon, is that the paper, the book, what have you, needs to be accurate and it needs to be well presented.
Yeah, we are going to get to that. I wanted to just say one more thing about this part first, and that's there's an author named Bill Wasik, W-A-S-I-K, and he said his advice, the first tip, is that readers expect books to be exhaustive on their subjects. And what that means, it doesn't mean they want the books to be long. It means that they expect that you will cover all the ground that needs to be covered to understand the subject. And so, you know, he's very, very adamant, I guess, in his discussion that people need to know what they're talking about and be able to convey it to their audience. And so that does bring us to the second point, the second key to writing nonfiction, which I've seen a lot of this out there, and especially, unfortunately, with self-published work,
mm-hmm.
I will say, because editing. You, in addition to knowing your subject backwards and forwards, you need to write well. You know, your work needs to be edited, well organized, and properly formatted.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to self-publish, then you've got to invest in an editor. You've got to go to an editing service, because writers tend to make terrible editors. You really don't do a good job editing your own work.
That's right. You might be a great editor. I mean, I edit a magazine monthly, but I would not dare dream of just editing my own work, because I know that I'll miss things.
You will, and it's just so important. You've got all this knowledge, and you've written a really good, you know, a magazine feature or book or whatever it is, but it looks unprofessional because you don't have it properly formatted. There's misspellings. It's just not edited. It's just, you know, there's just so many things, and that's just something it's an easy fix. And so that's just what I say. Those are the two keys to writing there. So really, my summary of this would be to write what you know and know what you write.
Well,
well and write well.
Well, what about...
And to that point, I just wanted to say about some resources. And I know that you can offer some information to this, but you're writing historical fiction.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to pay close attention to a lot of details to make sure you're getting things accurate, because you're right, you know. So I'm sure that you're using certain kinds of resources and methods and all. And I don't know if everybody's aware of this, but there is actually a Nonfiction Authors Association, and it's called nonfictionauthorsassociation.com, and it's free to join, and they offer workshops and webinars and all kinds of tools and things that can help anybody that writes nonfiction. So that's a good resource for you. Also, I recommend using multiple resources to verify your information is correct, because I know a lot of people tend to just go online and go to Wikipedia like that. Like nothing inaccurate has ever been posted to Wikipedia. And that's just not true.
Uh-huh.
And so I say that you need to check your sources, across the board, not just go with one resource and all. And there's a lot of ways you can do that. You can interview experts. You know, when I was working on Pirates of the Carolinas, you know, I interviewed David Moore at the Beaufort Maritime Museum, because he's an expert on blackbird, because, you know, he spent 20 years has been over to London, has gone through the library, the research documents and everything. So, you know, he had done a lot of this legwork already, so he graciously offered to give me a lot of help. And also I went up to Newport News to the Maritime Library and spent a week up there going through their records, you know, archives and all that. So you have to put a little legwork in it there. You can contact a historical society. You can do some from home using databases. And there's all kinds of ones out there you can use. There's Grolier Online. There's Heritage Quest. And I think they have a lot of the genealogy and local history and things like that.
Well, hopefully before someone even begins to approach the idea of writing a nonfiction book, they will already know the sources for what they're going to be writing about. And one thing I wanted to say, though, a little while ago was that regarding to well-presented material, in my opinion, the books that I take the most seriously when it comes to nonfiction, and I'm not talking about, you know, there are some things that you can't really source. Like, for instance, there's the creative nonfiction. Like, for instance, your ghost books, you wouldn't be able to necessarily do this with this. But then there are other nonfiction books that are dealing with a historical subject, or they're dealing with, you know, some other reference subject and that sort of thing. I want to see citations. If you're making a claim about something, you need to have it cited somewhere in the book. If you don't want to cite it in footnotes at the bottom of the page, then there needs to be, you know, a resources or a sources or works cited section at the end, and there are formats for doing that. The Wikipedia, that's not the way you do citations. You know, that's the Wikipedia style citations, but that's not MLA format. That's not Chicago Book of Style. You need to find out what style book is most appropriate in the field for the nonfiction that you're writing, and you need to use that style for citing, whether it's a website, whether it's a book, whether it's an audio recording, you know, what have you. So,
and getting off track a little, just because we're discussing this in our piece, indexes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
When you're writing nonfiction, you need an index.
Yes, absolutely.
And there's nothing that points to an amateur or effort or something that looks self-published faster than a book that is nonfiction on a topic that you get to the back and there's no index.
That's right.
And so a print book should always have an index. But that's getting off topic a bit, but that's a peeve of mine because, like you said, citation, people want to be able to look up and find where Blackbeard was specifically discussed in this book and if there was a reference to, you know, the golden age of piracy or whatever have you. That's what the index is there for, and that's very important. And if you want your book stocked in libraries and other places, you know, librarians are kind of funny about having indexes the back, they believe in that.
Mm-hmm.
But there was, I know we weren't going to talk about all the different resources, but there was just one thing I was going to mention. I don't know if you're familiar with something called ProQuest.
Actually, I'm familiar with Questia. I don't know if it's similar to that. That's like a huge, huge online document repository.
That's Google Books. Questia, I think, is affiliated with Google Books,
It didn't used to be. I don't know. It might be now, but I've not used Questia.
I think Google has, yeah. I think they, but even if it happened, I was just going to say, the difference, what I kind of like about ProQuest was, like, you're writing historical fiction, Sarah, and it's based in the 1700s or something, and supposing you want it to set a scene for the weather on a certain day,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can actually go to ProQuest, and it will tell you what the weather was like, for instance, in Manhattan on June 1st in 1953.
Mm-hmm. I don't think the weather records are kept back that far, though. I've definitely done a lot of research. You see what I'm saying, though? Yeah, I mean,
for other events and things like that, that it can be very helpful. I mean, even things like the Census Bureau, just to figure out what the population would have been realistically of the little town or hamlet, you know, where you're setting your story. Or you and I talked about this one time when I used OMG when something I wrote, and you said, well, you know, if you were writing it back at this time, that would have been before OMG was common.
Yep.
So things like that you don't think of because, you know, as long as you've been around, you thought OMG was there, but it wasn't always the language. It wasn't always a common term or slang, whatever. So that's just to make sure you have things accurate. Like you said, we talked about using the database, and
I do have a blog post on my website with a lot of articles for historical research. For if anyone listening to this happens to be interested in that sort of thing, whether even if you're not writing nonfiction and you are writing historical fiction, I have a blog post, and I'll link that to the post about this podcast. They're pointing to sites that for the most part have original documents, because me, I'm Terrence knows this, but I'm really a stickler about, you know, research. I really am big on authenticity. I want to make sure, you know, I'll spend 3 hours of research for one line of dialogue, because I want to make sure that no one is saying anything in my book, you know, that's not spot on accurate.
Or yeah, I know plausible. A while back you were trying to figure out how much time it would have taken in the horse and buggy day to get from this place to this place.
That's
and
right.
You did a whole day of research or something on that just to figure out, you know.
I've done a lot of things like that, but like I said, I've got this post, but definitely go to original sources, because you can, you know, you can talk to experts, but then a lot of times experts only know what they themselves have researched about it.
Right.
And a lot of times,
it's
if they're representing one view, then you're only getting what they, you know, have already subscribed to when you do that. So anyway,
because I can tell you, one of the things that's interesting is malaria. That was a common thing that happened in colonial times, was never called malaria till much later. They didn't know what that was. They didn't, you know, they didn't know why people died, and you know, they just knew there was. So that would be inaccurate if you were writing that in your book.
That's right.
To call it malaria from that time, because those characters wouldn't have known.
That's right.
So that's, you know, and like when I wrote about the Gullah, you know, for the Low Country, they weren't called Gullah back in the era of the slave days. This is something that a term that was coined much later. So this is just the, you know, little things that we're talking about, because it's a peeve of mine too, as Sarah knows. So that's pretty much what I would want to say about the nonfiction. I think we've covered it there.
Do you have a quote? Do you have a quote for us at the end of this episode?
I do have my quote of the week here.
I love the quotes of the week.
You know, trivia and quotes and all those things are just me. But Peter Connors, who is author of Growing Up Dead, I think just nails it. He says, nonfiction shouldn't mean poorly written. Writing is writing, and art always counts. Make your book beautiful to read, and you're more likely to communicate your message to your reader.
Very good. Very good. Well, I guess that wraps up this episode of A Writer's Journey on Nonfiction. The next episode will be episode 7, and it will be a wild card week. So that's going to be a new feature that we're going to have from time to time, and so we hope you'll join us. In the meantime, please visit us at our websites. Mine is sarahwhitford.com. That's sarahwhitford.com. And Terrence's website is terrencezepke.com. That's terrencezepke.com. Thanks so much for joining us.